Happy Sunday and welcome to another amazing edition of Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, establishing effective communication through spiritual growth. My name is Gerald G. Rat Riley, and I'm here with my beautiful, my host who is the most, my smart, my real,
Katasha Riley.
That's my wife, y'all. Listen, we are broadcasting from Columbus, Georgia, all the way to Eufaula, Alabama, and surrounding areas. And today's Sunday Conversations with the Riley is entitled Mental Health Month, part one of our series. And we're in the studio today with, not only is he a doctor, a minister, and many other things in our community, ladies and gentlemen, I call him my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to our studio, Dr. Walter Teller.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for having me.
Outstanding. Dr. Teller, what have you been up to?
Hey, I'm trying to live the best life that I can, given the cards that I've been dealt with.
Man, listen, if you could see the suit and the accessories, I'm not going to go there. But man,
please
what is,
don't.
This joker is sharp, y'all. But listen, Doc, in all seriousness, Dr. Teller, how do you balance your mental health with all the things that you do in our community? How do you balance your mental health?
So one of the things that I've learned in my process of healing is to create healthy boundaries in my life. Having healthy boundaries help to facilitate having overall health. One of the things that we as individuals, especially entrepreneurs, those who are active in the community, ministry leaders, one of the things we find ourselves wrestling with is having a balanced life, because we're pulled in so many various different directions. We struggle creating the necessary boundaries. And one of the things that I've learned as I had to undergo my own times of therapy was I had to stop allowing people's urgencies to become my emergencies. And so when I get off, my time is valuable and allotted to me. And so one of the things that I institute is when I'm off, I shut off my phone from business. I don't allow people to call me after business hours to dump on me, because that's my time to relax and restore myself.
Awesome. Now, did you pay attention to this? This man is a therapist also. He has a therapist for himself.
Correct.
Man, that is big. Now, Doc, what is the textbook definition of mental health?
Well, and I'm glad you asked. That's a very good question, because oftentimes we confuse mental health with mental illness.
Okay.
Mental health is nothing more than the overall condition of one's psyche, your psychology, your mental state, your cognitive functions. What happens is when we neglect our mental health, then we find ourselves wrestling with mental illness. The same way if you neglect yourself of going to the doctor, getting checked up and managing your blood pressure, if not careful, you start wrestling with high blood pressure. Or you'll formulate having diabetes because you have not gone through the proper measures to do preventative maintenance on your overall body. Same way you take with a car. If you don't take that car to get an oil change, to get lubrication, to get gas, at some point it's going to cause other issues in the car. It's the same way with our psyche. If we don't evaluate our minds on a continual basis, we'll find ourselves going from good mental health into mental illness.
Awesome. Now, Doc, I heard you say, is physical health a part of mental health? Because, you know, ladies and gentlemen, he has on a custom fitted suit and these guns. Now, these guns are like they're about to go off in the studio. And so my question is, do you consider your physical health part of the overall under umbrella of mental health?
It's a great component of it, because what happens is when we start wrestling, especially with depression would cause one to isolate. It would cause one to want to lay around and lounge. And what happens is psychosomatic issues are formulated that affect our overall health. And psychosomatic issues manifest into things like high blood pressure, diabetes, migraines. It causes us to have insomnia. It causes us to not want to eat or to overeat. And so not exercising, not taking advantage of good eating will cause one's physical body to be affected because of this mindset.
Now, what was that word, psycho what?
Psychosomatic.
What does that mean, Doc?
So that's literally where your mind, how you are formulating things in your mind, they manifest in your body.
Oh, wow. That without even saying it with your mouth, in your mind.
Right.
Oh, that is powerful.
Yeah, our mind is a powerful thing. Our mind literally is the engine that runs our body, which is why if we control how we think about things, then we control what we see in life. So often we are affected and we allow things that we see to control what we think. And that's backwards. We should allow what we think to control what we see.
I heard an old minister say, more is always caught than taught.
Yes, sir.
Now, Doc, how do we, as a community, how do we maintain or balance our mental health? What are some of the things that we can do to maintain and balance a good mental health?
One of the things that's very important that we used to have when we grew up was good neighbors, being neighbors one to the other, where we would have backyard barbecues, where we would have parties in the street, where we would have Sunday dinners, where the family would get together and have communion of food and fellowship one with the other. I'm finding now in the 21st century, everybody's isolated in their own corners. Nobody's doing anything together. And so when we become islands, when we become separated, that lessens the ability for good health and cognitive function. And so coming together will cause there to be not only unity, even the Bible talks about that, how good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Yes.
That unity brings about a wholeness and a wellness, not only in community, but in homes.
Awesome. Outstanding.
Me and Riley, of course, with Marriage Co., we do sessions, and I was talking to, you know, a client about the importance of fellowshipping. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we discussed was church and how now church is so virtual and you have easy access. But it's a scripture in the Bible that talks about, you know, fellowshipping,
right,
you know, one to another.
Right.
And so it's the same. What I explain, you know, to them is that it is the same as actually going to a live football game.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're going to a restaurant and you have takeout versus eating inside. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, you want to, you know, grab a hold to the ambiance, have the experience.
Right.
So it's all about the experience. And also church is all about the experience as well.
Right.
And so you can't always just be stuck in a corner, you know, on your phone or the TV and get that. It's something about the attachment of being able to have the energy from your fellow man that is positive that you need to right. get out and go inside the building.
Right, right. That's one of the drawbacks from COVID. COVID forced us into our homes, but it also forced us into isolation one from the other. And when that happened, statistically, depression, the rates of depression were heightened. Suicide was heightened, all because we lost the interaction one with the other. And what happens is when we are isolated one from another, I was doing some research and a study on those who now have a phobia to leave their homes. Mm-hmm. All because of the fact that COVID pushed us inside. And now there are those who are wrestling with the fear of coming back into a normal society, i.e., you know, those who won't go to church or those who have become so inundated with working from home, a company can't pay them to come back into the building.
Right.
And so now you have employers who are searching and having to give bonuses, hiring bonuses for individuals to just come work a job. And that's all a direct result of the isolation and the separation. Isolation and separation for prolonged periods can be very dangerous. Hence, one of the reasons that even under the Department of Justice, an individual can only stay in isolation while incarcerated for so long. Because if you are isolated for an extended period of time, it starts to mess with your mind and you start to formulate things that aren't there.
Now, Dr. Taylor, as a man of God, how effective, in your opinion, is prayer pertaining to mental health? Or should it be combined with a licensed psychiatrist or therapist.
And I'm glad you that I teach. I'm not only am I a pastor, I'm a therapist, I'm a life coach. And I tell every pastor needs a pastor. But not only that, every pastor needs a therapist because you need someone that you can offload to. When you look at the dichotomy of man, man is made up into three components. Mm-hmm. Well, if we're made into three components, that means that we need multiple measures to complete a healthy man, which means we need God. And we need therapy. We need God, and we sometimes need medicine. So I'm an advocate for saying, hey, don't be afraid to say that I need help. One of the things that I had to personally walk through in 2020 was losing my mom and dad. Pastoring almost 30 years, I had to be able to stand and look at my congregation and say, I'm not okay. And I had to be willing to be vulnerable and broken in front of them to say, I got to get some help because I was in a very, very dark place. And so now my testimony is I thank God for the church, but I live by God, meditation, and medicine. All three of them together help me put one foot in front of the other.
Awesome. You know, Dr. Ted, I'm a little bit older than you. And I was raised old school where as a young man with me and all my brothers, my father kind of like, you know, When you were hurt, you sucked it up. You didn't cry. Mm-hmm. You didn't show emotion. You sucked it up. And then I joined the military, and it was the same thing. You know, you suck it up. You drive on. You don't show emotion. It wasn't until I married this beautiful, smart, anointed woman of God in my life that I was allowed to be vulnerable.
Right.
And she told me, you know, because of my actions, because of the way I was acting and stuff, she said, you know what? You need therapy. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you, man, therapy for me, man, it's the best thing since sliced bread.
Right.
But I think that it's the way, especially with a man, it's the way that you say you need therapy. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't like, you know, man, you crazy. You need therapy.
Right.
It's that Riley is a part of my assignment in life. And so I study my assignment. And in studying my assignment, I saw things that actually triggered him. I did research on PTSD versus some other things, and some things he fit the category. And so once I did that, I actually, you know, sat him down and I talked to him about actually seeing a therapist, and that can actually help him where even though, you know, we tight like that, it's some things that is between him and God and now his therapist.
Right. All right. And several couple different things that were highlighted there. Growing up in the African-American community, especially in the Black church, for so long, we demonized mental health.
Yes.
Oh, they crazy, where they got a demon. And we would shun people from being able to come to the church and say, hey, I got something going on and I need some help. And not only in the church, but in the African-American community, we shunned mental health. You know, the family reunion, we all around. Your child, you know your auntie crazy.
Yes, that's it.
Rather than doing what's needed to get our loved ones the necessary help, which I'm glad you pointed that out, Tasha, knowing those who are in our circle, in our sphere, and at our table, being able to look at somebody and say, there is something off with you. You are not dressing like you normally dress. You're not responding like you normally responding. When we love people for real, we pay attention to the unspoken language, because oftentimes when people are going through depression, when their anxieties are high, they are giving off cues and clues that they're not saying with their mouth. And we have to be conscious enough to know when to say you need some help.
I think in the church with me personally growing up, it was about the deliverance service. You're going to get everything that you need at the revival. And that is not necessarily true. My grandmother used to always tell me that it's only two ways that a person can get set free. Mm-hmm. She said, either they're going to have to get delivered from God and get set free, or they're going to have that piece of paper that's checked off that they're good to go.
Right. Right. And I believe that, which is why pastors sometimes they shun me on this. As a pastor, you have to know when to refer a parishioner out. You have to know when one of your members needs something that you are not licensed or train to give them. Yes. It takes nothing away from your anointing, your gift, your ability to preach or pastor. But oftentimes what we as the church has demonized and oil people down and threw them in the floor trying to deliver them of, yeah, in the moment of emotionalism, there was a response. But when they got back home, they were still facing that cloud of emotions that no one sat down to really deal with and work through with them.
You're absolutely right. Now, Doc, I see you have a book in front of you.
Yes, sir.
Now, the title of the book is called Think About It.
Yes, sir.
Now, what are we thinking about?
So, again, we go back to our mindset, our psyche, what words and emotions are formulated in our mind. So the Bible says this, that life and death lies within the power of the tongue. And so what we see is often a byproduct of what we speak. And so when this book deals with challenging the individual and the reader to think about the words that are about to come out of your mouth. And so in my opening, you know, I said, I'm dealing with the cards that have been dealt to me. I'm not allowing the cards to deal with me. I'm dealing with the cards.
Wow.
And there's a vast difference. One of the things that I've had to learn as I've had to go through a season from 2020, I had to learn how to be the captain of my ship and not allow the storm to turn my ship.
Come on, preach.
I cannot control life's storms, but I can control how I respond while I'm in the storm. And that's what this book, Think About It, does. It challenges the reader to go from being a victim to a victor. So again, this book challenges the individual and the reader to go from being the victim in the situation to becoming the victor. Because again, we are able to see exactly what we speak out of our mouths.
Outstanding. Just in case you're joining us today for Sunday Conversations with the Rileys, we're in the studio today with the anointed, my boy, my friend, Dr. Walter Taylor, and we're talking about Mental Health Month. Now, Dr. Taylor, where can the listening audience get this book?
This book can be purchased on Amazon. You can get a hard copy or you can download it to your Kindle. You can purchase it on Apple Books. You can go to Barnes & Noble and purchase it. Or you can call us at the Life Center and pick up a copy locally and I'll sign it for you.
Awesome. Now, Dr. Taylor, a couple of weeks ago, we were in Overflow Salon and Barbershop and we had a hot topic going on. And the question was asked, is it okay for men to cry?
Of course. Crying is a natural, healthy emotion. Scientists have discovered that when teardrops leave the body, there are so many toxins that are released in one teardrop. And so what happens is when we as men feel as if we have to live up to the stigma of being hard and not showing our emotions or being vulnerable or crying makes us weak, what we're doing is we're holding in toxins in our bodies that really need to be released.
Awesome. Awesome. Someone once told me, is it okay for a man to smile?
Of course.
Is it okay for a person to have joy?
Yes.
Well, it's okay for a person to cry or feel a certain way about something that impacted their life. Now, Doc, my next question, what is PTSD? And I guess it's a two-part question. What is PTSD? And is PTSD just confined to members of the military service?
And that is a great question. That is a lot of people are misinformed when we talk about PTSD, which is post-traumatic stress disorder, and it is not limited to service members. Again, the acronym is post-traumatic, which means anything you go through in life that is traumatic to you, you can go through PTSD. So you take an individual who has undergone being raped or being molested or being robbed or gone through death of a loved one. That can be traumatic for them. COVID was traumatic for a whole lot of individuals because when COVID hit us, we weren't prepared for COVID. And so it gave us a level of trauma, not only emotionally and spiritually, but it gave people trauma economically. So our United States still is traumatized from the effects of COVID. And so when we talk about PTSD, PTSD manifests itself. And what I like to tell people, PTSD really is just an umbrella. It is an umbrella because there are so many other things that fall up under that umbrella of PTSD.
What are some signs of PTSD?
Good question. So up under that umbrella of PTSD, you'll have anxiety disorder. You'll have depression. You'll have oppression. You'll have insomnia. You'll have where it is that you are hiding, or you have a phobia of things. So PTSD can take on many different forms.
When you say PTSD, you know, I was in a relationship where I had a cousin that came to stay with me, and she was a health provider. She was actually a RN nurse, and she said that she just watched me for those months. And she said, Tasha, you really need to check to see if you have PTSD from the trauma of the relationship. Mm-hmm. And I realized that I was doing things that was not my norm.
Right.
And so I did, and actually I had an opportunity to have a therapist as well. One of the things with therapy that I realized that people always ask, well, the therapist always asks, how was your childhood?
Right.
And so that is a big thing for people to understand, that you can have childhood trauma.
Of course.
From your childhood. Actually, me and Gerald both just got certificates in childhood trauma.
Wow, that's good.
And understanding the brain of an adult mm-hmm. with trauma.
Right.
And so we learned so much because we deal with the community, deal with the public. It was just a great opportunity for us to dive in into what we do as well with Marriage Co. But childhood trauma is a big deal for people that don't think that things in their childhood as an adult can affect them now, such as PTSD and other disorders.
Of course. So, you know, you take one, domestic violence. Domestic violence is a learned behavior. You just yes. don't wake up yes. and become and complete domestic violence. No, it's a learned behavior. And so, you know, when we talk about trauma, oftentimes we laugh about it. I know amongst my family about how we used to get whoopings growing up. Mm. But now that I'm an adult and, you know, I deal with mental health, I look back on some of those whoopings and I'm like, that stuff was traumatic, man.
Yes.
You
yes.
know,
yes.
being beat like that was very traumatic. And what you'll find is, and you talk about your friend who came, what we'll do is we'll start checking the lock 2-3 times. We'll put things in a certain way. I know I'm very like, I'm like that. I leave my desk arranged a certain way so I can know if somebody had been at my desk when I wasn't there. And that's a direct result of some of the PTSD side effects that I deal with. And so again, in life, we have to be able to recognize those things.
Awesome. Now, Dr. Taylor, does poverty and race affect our mental health?
It does. Poverty does. Race plays a part in it because when we talk about poverty, so that means that individuals who are impoverished, they don't have the accessibility or the resources to get certain medical advancements that others would have access to. And so when you think about that, if you look at the United States, that's why so many immigrants are trying to migrate to the United States, because they are able to receive health benefits that they don't receive in their own countries, especially impoverished countries. So when you look at a community that is plagued with poverty, that means with the poverty comes violence. With the violence comes lower educational standards. With that comes higher crime. You'll have overrun businesses, overrun homes. And so with that in the community, it just plagues on one's mind and creates, again, going back to that psychosomatic issues that individuals will face.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, Dr. Taylor, this is a personal question. Does giving back and helping people with their mental health, and you do so many things in the community, man. You give away food, you give away toys and bikes, and you offer so many different services. Does that help with your mental health?
It does. One of the things I tell people ask me, you know, how can you work in the funeral industry, or how can you be a hospice chaplain? And my response is, helping people helps me. Because what happens is, when I first got out of the Marine Corps, I had a real anger issue. That's, I'm telling the truth. I had a real anger issue because, again, you know, the Marine Corps, they just trained you to be a certain way. And so one of the first jobs I got when I got out of the Marine Corps was I got a job teaching anger management.
Wow.
And so when with that job of teaching anger management, while teaching others how to deal with their anger, I was teaching myself. And so when we are helping others through certain things in life, oftentimes helping them helps us, which, again, I know this is not a religious show, but because I'm a pastor, I need to give this plug. Revelations 12 and 11 says it this way, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So the mere fact that you have the ability to testify to somebody else that I've been in a similar situation like you, and this is how I got through, you are stirring the Kool-Aid to help somebody else come out.
Come on now. Now, Dr. Taylor, in closing, is there anything that you would like to tell our listener or audience maybe that we didn't cover?
Yes, sir. One of the things I want to tell, especially with all the things that are happening in our city, in Columbus, one of the things I told myself growing up that I would not allow where I grew up to determine where I go in life. And so you have to make sure that, again, you become the author of your life story. You become the captain of your ship. It does not matter what's happening in the environment around you. When you wake up every morning, you have to make a conscious decision that I am going to allow my life to be, one, controlled by God, and then, two, I am going to allow what God's word says about me to manifest in my life. And there is not a storm that can come. There's not a wind that can blow. There's not a devil that can knock that can make me not become who I am destined to be.
I think as, and I know you said in closing, but I was just thinking about me and Gerald, him being a barber and me being a stylist, and how people are always downloading, you know, to us. But at the end of the day, with both of us actually being therapeutic to other people, we make sure as a married couple that we actually are therapeutic to each other and minister to one another.
That's important. That's important. That's very important. You guys are clinicians. Most people don't realize that. They only think of clinicians as the medical doctor or the dentist. But no, the barber, the beautician, the nail tech, all of those are clinicians. They're practitioners.
And I hate to say it, but the bartender.
Yes.
The bartender as well.
Can you imagine the stories they hear on a nightly basis?
Come on. Listen, this has been Sunday Conversations with the Rileys. Peace.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.